Come to hear from God's word from the book of 3 John. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Father God, we pray now as we come to hear from your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit may be here with us, Lord, helping us to know and to understand your word. Help us have open hearts and open minds and open ears to hear what you may be saying to us, Lord, and to put into practice what you command. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we think of examples are quite useful for us, aren't they? Like whenever we want to explain something more clearly using a real-life situation, we'll say, for example, and then speak of that situation, and in the process help give an explanation of it. Or we'll say we might be cooking or making something. Often we'll be provided with a finished example of what we're making, either as a photo or there placed before us. In the past, I used to do some electrical assembly work, and many of the machines that we assembled and calibrated were quite complex in many ways, and so often we had a completed example that was sitting on a shelf that we could refer to and make sure that any new machines that were built matched that example, because sometimes we wouldn't build a particular machine for several months. And so it was good to have an example there that we could go off and check to make sure that we're doing the right thing. We humans can also be good examples, but we often hold up others as being either good or bad examples of behaviour or of lifestyle, or of fashion sense. And as Christians, we too can hold others up and consider others as being examples. Now, speaking for myself, I can think of a couple of Christians who, unfortunately, I consider to be not so good examples by their behaviour and actions. But I can also think of several Christians I know who set very good examples in the ways that they live and the way they act. Like one man, for example, one man I know, he sets an amazing example. Like he worked as a school chaplain up in Queensland. I think he's retired now, but it was a perfect job for him as a school chaplain, because he's just so encouraging and supporting and loving. Like he really shows Jesus through the way he lives his life. I got to work with him while I was overseas in Korea, and he would often speak with the students with such care and support for them. Like even when we'd go out into the local town, he would loudly and personally greet the owners of any shops that we went into in a kind of broken Korean with a big smile on his face. And the funny thing was that often the shop owners would smile back and say hello. And even other customers would smile at him. Like he'd walk into a restaurant and loudly greet people, you know, and people, they couldn't help but smile back at him. Such was the love that would come out of him. Like he just showed Jesus, the love of Jesus in his life totally. Like he's a fantastic example of a Christian. And often the greetings that he had said would be Christian greetings as well, not just hello, but he would say, God bless you, and things like that in Korean. And I'm sure that you also can think of examples of Christians you know that you would consider as being good examples. And probably the best example that we have in this regard is Jesus Christ himself. Like we can look to Jesus and see how we're supposed to be living as Christians, because he's the one person who's actually lived a perfect life. So then when we look at the Apostle John's letters of 2nd and 3rd John that we're going through, particularly now as we move into the start of 3rd John, we see that after having spoken of love and of truth and of walking in the truth, walking in love and loving in the truth, John now provides some examples for us, we can say, in this letter of 3rd John. Like he first of all provides us with a good example in the person of Gaius, who's introduced in the first half of 3 John. And then he goes on to speak about a bad example in the person of Diotrephes in the second half of his letter that we'll look at next week. And so not only does John provide a good example of a good Christian in Gaius, but John also begins this letter by setting a good example himself. Like, he again repeats what he said in his greeting of 2 John about loving in the truth. There in 2 John, he loved the elect lady and her children in the truth. Now John mentions that he loves the beloved Gaius, his dear friend Gaius, in the truth. And John shows this love for Gaius in his prayer for him. In verse 2, again he describes Gaius as beloved, as his dear friend. And then he prays a warm, loving prayer for him, that he may prosper in all things and be in health, just as his soul prospers. And we can see in John's prayer here that Gaius is someone who's going to be a good example as a Christian. Because John says, just as your soul prospers, then so too may you prosper in all things and be in health. Like, Gaius' soul is prospering, which is a pretty good indication that he's living faithfully and well as a Christian. And so John prays that his day-to-day life and actions and his physical health may keep up with his spiritual health, which isn't to say that Gaius had any health problems, but rather it's just a nice thing to say and to pray for someone, especially someone who's a close friend. So this prayer of John's is a good example of loving in the truth. It's how we should pray for our fellow believers and people within the church, warmly and lovingly, with genuine concern and care. An elderly lady at my home church, a Canterbury Presbyterian church, often prayed in this way whenever she would do the intercessory prayers for church. But the way she prayed and the way she spoke to God and spoke about others in her prayers, such warmth and love. But she had genuine concern and care for others. She wasn't just reciting something off the top of her head. You could tell that she truly believed and was involved in what that she was praying. Hers was a good example of a Christian who was loving in the truth. So then John, after praying his prayer to Gaius, he then continues on in his letter, giving a commendation of Gaius' action and life in verses 3 to the start of verse 6. Like, Gaius is a good example as a Christian because the brethren have noticed his example. They've noticed his witness and have spoken well of him to John. As John says, these people came and testified of the truth that is in you. Through Gaius' life, they could see the truth being lived out. They could see that Gaius had the truth within him. As John says, just as you walk in the truth, by walking in the truth, by living out the truth in his life, Gaius was setting a good Christian example and witness that was being spoken well of by others. Also here again, John describes Gaius as beloved, as a dear friend, again showing his love in the truth. And he encourages Gaius, calling him faithful in his treatment of fellow Christians, even though they may have been strangers to him, because these Christians have borne witness of his love before the church. For Gaius was treating his fellow Christians well. These brethren mentioned here were probably travelling Christian teachers, or even Christians who were travelling between towns, who had been welcomed well by Gaius and shown hospitality and care. If you remember last week in the second half of 2 John, John warned Christians not to welcome or to take into their houses anyone who doesn't have correct Christian teaching, meaning people who are false teachers. Because although we should show love to all people, we don't love all people in the truth. Only other Christians do we love in the truth. Here, though, John mentions true Christians who should be welcomed and shown hospitality, who should be loved in the truth. And that's exactly what Gaius was doing. And in the time that John's letter was written, hospitality was an important thing. Like, people at that time didn't have hotels to stay in, although there might have been some inns around. Now, they didn't have planes or buses or cars to get around in. Traveling to another town or city was a dangerous thing oftentimes. It often involved walking there or sailing nearby and then walking. And then you'd look for someone to stay with in that town, someone who'd show you hospitality. But without this hospitality from people, in some places you could end up sleeping on the street, literally. And so these Christian teachers, they would travel around and they would stay with other believers in the places they visited. They'd receive hospitality from other believers. And if we read through the book of Acts, you can see read about the Apostle Paul and other apostles doing exactly this. They would travel from town to town and they would oftentimes stay with people from that town. These people would be showing them hospitality and love in the truth as fellow believers. In our time, things are different, because now we've got hotels and accommodation everywhere, but we should still be welcoming and hospitable to fellow believers. Like, I know firsthand that as missionaries, such hospitality is still needed, because sometimes we've been in need of somewhere to stay and we've relied on the hospitality of other believers for accommodation when we've been in different towns and visiting different people. And so then, upon hearing of Gaius' example, the Apostle John says that he's full of rejoicing. He says, as he also says similarly in 2 John verse 4, that he has no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in truth. This is what a good Christian example does. It fills other Christians with joy to see it and to hear about it. Just as someone who sets a bad example fills us with disappointment and anguish, meaning that our example as Christians matters to others. It affects others as well as ourselves and as well as affecting God. And from what John's been saying in these verses, we can see that it's also useful to be sharing with other believers when we see or know someone who is a good example, because doing so can bring joy to others also, as it did to John here. It can bring encouragement to hear about someone who's walking and loving in the truth. Like, we hear too much bad news nowadays. So let's try and share some good news as well and speak about what other people are doing, these good examples. There are many good examples in our churches that we should speak about. And so then next, when we look from verses 6, the second half of verse 6 through to the end of verse 8, John, he then gives Gaius advice and encouragement on how to continue loving other Christians in the truth, how to continue in this good example that he's setting, speaking in particular of how Gaius should treat these travelling Christians, these travelling teachers and evangelists and mission workers. But John instructs him to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. So in other words, treat these people as if they're the Lord himself. So treat these people well. Treat these people really well. And why? Well, John gives several reasons here. Firstly, because these people went forth for his name's sake. They're going out serving God, teaching about Christianity, teaching about the truth, taking the gospel forward. These Christian workers deserve to be treated well and shown love and hospitality and be encouraged in the work that they're doing. They're serving in God's name. What they're doing is for God's name's sake. And then secondly, because they went out taking nothing from the Gentiles, John tells us. Christians who are serving God directly through various types of ministry or mission work, they don't expect or get any help from unbelievers, from the Gentiles. Like, why would they expect this? No, unbelievers don't know God. Unbelievers don't care about the gospel. They don't have the truth. They're hardly likely to support Christian ministries, though some do sometimes. But from fellow believers, though, welcome and hospitality should be expected, because we're all in this together. We're all serving God and his kingdom. We're all living out our lives as witnesses for Christ. But not only that, though, but thirdly, a third reason that John says that we ought to receive such Christians so that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Actually, I think there's a Presbyterian magazine that comes out which is actually called Fellow Workers. because we are all in it together, whether we're serving in actual ministry or mission work, or whether we're just in a congregation. Like, we all are at work for God's kingdom in one way or another, either going out or supporting those who are going out. So by helping and supporting and welcoming our fellow Christians and the various kinds of work they're doing, we too become fellow workers with them, working for the truth. Right, this is where, for example, regarding missions work, where real teamwork and partnership is encouraged, because missionaries go out taking the gospel into the world, and other Christians can be actively involved in supporting them, either by welcoming them into their homes and greeting them when they're back home in Australia, supporting them, encouraging them with their hospitality, or by helping them financially and helping them through prayer. Like, even though you might be here in Australia living and working here, you can be fellow workers together with such people as you work together for the truth. So then, as we consider this example that we see here in 3 John, this example of Gaius, it should make us look at our own lives and consider if we too are setting good examples as Christians today. For example, firstly, considering John's example here at the start of this letter, do we also speak warmly and caringly about other Christians, as John does here, or do we prefer to tear others down, constantly criticizing or looking for faults in other people? Because it can be really easy to find faults in other people. Like, we're all still dealing with sin in our lives, although that sin has no control over us any longer, and God forgives us of it and we repent before him. Now, speaking positively about others is harder in many ways, but it is more rewarding, and it is loving in the truth. And how about our prayers also? Like, do we pray for other Christians as John does here? Because prayer can be an expression of loving in the truth as we pray genuine, caring prayers for others. Like, even other Christians who might have done us harm or offended us in some way, if you pray for them before God, it can be very hard to hold on to bitterness when you're praying for their well-being and praying for perhaps a change of mind or a change of behaviour in them. Like, I've experienced this with some people who are Christians who haven't treated me that well. You know, you can choose to be bitter about it, or you can choose to say, well, actually, I'll pray for them that they might change this behaviour. And when you do pray, you can't hold on to that bitterness for long, you know, depending on what they've done to you. So we should pray for other Christians genuinely and warmly, no matter who they are. And then, as we consider Gaius's example here, to think, are our lives good examples and good witnesses for Christ and for God? Like, do we live lives that are spoken well of by others? Or do others only speak words of concern about us? And how about regarding hospitality as well? Like, do we welcome and show hospitality towards other believers? We should be welcoming and caring towards fellow Christians, loving one another in the truth. And hospitality doesn't just mean bringing someone into your house. There's many ways that hospitality can be expressed. And on a deeper level, perhaps, do we treat other believers as if they were the Lord himself? In other words, do we treat them well, whether they're involved in kingdom work directly or whether they're just believers themselves? And overall, another good question to ask ourselves is, if someone like John was to write a letter about us, or write a letter to us, what sort of things would he say? Like, would he be warm? Would his letter be full of warmth and commendation and encouragement as he considers how we're living our lives and the Christian example we're setting? Or might his letter be full of concern, perhaps resembling some of the Apostle Paul's writings, where Paul has to exhort believers to follow Christ correctly? These are all questions that we should be asking ourselves as we live our lives as Christians. We should be thinking this in our prayer times before God and think, how are we living? How is our witness? Are we living as good examples and Christians as Gaius does here? Because if we're not, then the flip side of that is that we might be setting a bad example as a Christian, which then affects God's reputation. Because we don't just represent ourselves. If we claim to be Christians, we're claiming the name of Christ. We're representing Christ. We're representing God as his people. And this particularly is something I don't think many Christians think about, that their behaviour affects God's reputation. But it's true, because the world out there doesn't just see us. They see God. They see Jesus. And if we behave badly, setting a bad example, then unbelievers not only mock us, but they mock our God and Lord also. I mean, it's what's happening right now in the world, unfortunately, because of bad Christian behaviour in many parts. But in part because of too many Christians living lives that are bad examples, or people who claim to be Christians who might not actually be, and living bad examples, the world laughs at God and says to Christians such things like, "You don't even act as though you believe in God, so why should we?" Or the really cutting one that some unbelievers can say is that, "Well, aren't you supposed to actually be proclaiming the gospel? Now, why aren't you sharing the gospel with people? If you believe the gospel, if you're living out the gospel in your lives, why aren't you sharing it with people?" Which is something that's really convicting for many of us. And so then, when we go forward in 3 John to next week, the second half of 3 John, we'll see someone who is like this. We'll see someone who sets a bad example as a Christian, this man called Diotrephes. And we'll see what John has to say about them. So as we finish up then, John here provides us with a great example as a Christian in this person of Gaius, a Christian who is walking in the truth faithfully, and he's also loving other believers in the truth, so much so that his example was being spoken of by others to John himself. So we too should be striving to be good examples as Christians, as Gaius was. We should be welcoming and hospitable towards others, whether they're serving in kingdom work or any sort of believers. But we ought to treat such people well, because by doing so, we can become fellow workers with them for the truth. We're Christians. We have the truth. We know God, who is love and who is truth. Together with other believers, we are the children of God. We're family. And so we should be loving one another in the truth. So we'll end by considering the words of John from the letter of 1 John, where he also writes much about the topics that are contained within 2 and 3 John. So we look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. John, in 1 John, says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for this good example in the person of Gaius that we have here within your word, Lord, that we can look to him and think, are we living right? And we also think of the best example that we have contained in your word, Lord, the example of our Lord Jesus Christ and the life that he lived on earth that can help us to know and understand how we ought to be living. Or even though the standard that he sets is so, so high for us, Lord, and that we can only fulfill that sort of perfection once we're in your presence in eternal life, Lord. We thank you for all that you say and all that you teach us and command us in your word. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.